More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, worried, sick. Are you exhausted from anxiety that just won't let up? We want to help you trade your worries for the peace that surpasses all understanding. Let's call at 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to Life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. There she
is. I'm Lisa Popchak.
Ta-da!
I am here.
And today's show is titled Worried Sick. Are you exhausted from worrying about stuff? Anxiety that won't let up? Well, whatever it is, we want to help you trade your worries for the peace that surpasses all understanding. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
You know, I think that so many of us are hearing this topic today and just kind of either clenching up or going, yes, of course I'm worried, because so many of us are. So let's talk about it today and help you out. What are you worrying about? Are you worried about your kids? Where the money's going to come from? The test results? What to do with an unexpected situation? The world in general? Or maybe it's not you. Maybe it's someone you care about, and they're worrying about something, and you worry about helping them stop worrying so much. However worry or anxiety is complicating your life, let us help you reclaim the peace that God wants for you today on More to Life. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. 573-7825.
You know, I did a book called Unworried, A Life
Indeed.
Without Anxiety. And, you know, when people hear that title, they often think it's kind of a come on in some way. You know, A Life Without Anxiety. Come on, what are you talking about? And, you know, I make this point in the book that it's natural to be concerned about things. You know, to see a problem and to say, hey, that's something I need to deal with. But then when we're concerned about things, we can make a plan, we can gather resources, we can, you know, start to take action. But when we worry or when we're anxious, we just sort of look at the problem and say, oh my gosh, there's a problem. Oh, it's a big problem and it's going to run me over. And how am I going to get out of the way before I deal with it? And that's the difference. It's not that I'm saying that we can live a life without concerns.
Sure.
I'm saying that we don't have to live a life with anxiety. And in fact, I'm not saying that. Jesus said it.
It is Jesus that said it. I'm going to share with everyone what I said when my husband gave me the title of that book. I said, please don't write that book. And he said, why not? And I said, because I just know that Satan's going to use it to make me worry about everything even more than I already do. Because I am fighting that battle against worry almost every day of my life. When I was 3 years old, I came home from a lovely, happy day with my friends, and there was an ambulance in front of my house. And that began the years-long loss of losing my dad by the time I was five. And when you got trauma in your life, no matter what age it hits, or someone you love does, very often it leaves a mark. And for me, that mark was, I've got to do everything I can to protect everyone in my life so that this never happens again. And so that scenario often runs through my head. Now, I'm very blessed that I have really good skills now, which we can share with you today when you call in at 877-573-7825 to learn new skills to help you or someone you love through worry and anxiety. And those skills really do work. They really help. But when you sort of have that imprinted in you, it becomes a situation where you do have to actively put things into place so that, and I truly believe it is, the evil one doesn't take over and steal all your joy. Because I know for me personally, and I think this is true for many of us who worry or have anxiety in our life, Satan loves to get in there and make us play out every scenario and make us try to prepare for every scenario, even if it's just in our heads and in our hearts. And it's when he does that, he takes our eyes off of what we have in the moment, who we are, who God is in our lives. All the wonderful moments lose their color because we're thinking ahead of what possibly could. And it's allowing our worry to rise up, and eventually we feel more distanced from God. So it really is a very toxic thing that we can go through, and then Satan can kind of get into it and use it even against us or our faith life. And we don't have to let that happen. We can work against that with some really good skills and the grace of God.
So give us a call at 877-573-7825. We're talking about worry and anxiety. What are you worried about today? Whether it's the kids or the financial situation or the health, some unexpected problem, the world in general, or just worried about helping somebody you care about who's worried all the time. Give us a call. It's 877-573-7825. We'll talk out how to find the peace that God wants to give you. Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And you might be wondering, well, you know, how could some theology possibly help me deal with worry or anxiety? And of course, St. John Paul, when he was Pope, asked a really important question. He essentially said, what does it mean for the Catholic person to thrive? What does it look like for Catholics to truly enjoy vibrant, healthy, fulfilling, holy relationships? And his answer to that question became what people now refer to as the theology of the body.
And the theology of the body really helps us reframe worry and anxiety in a way that enables us to get control over it. And we tend to think that worry is caused by the things around us, but psychology tells us that worry and anxiety are just a clumsy attempt to feel in control. And I think we all kind of sense that when we feel that somewhere inside of us. Somewhere underneath, we believe that if we just worry about the bad thing hard enough, we can keep it from happening, as I was saying earlier, or somehow be completely prepared if or when it does happen. Worry makes our body feel like the bad thing we fear is actually already here and happening, which tricks us into thinking there's something we can do about it, even when there isn't.
All right, and so the theology of the body calls that reactivity. So reactivity is what happens when we forget that God's in control. And so we start grabbing at things to make us feel better, even for a second, even when the things we're grabbing for are the very things making everything worse. So worry actually feels like we're doing something, right? But we're just really spinning out. So instead of reactivity, the theology of the body encourages receptivity. That's when you stop looking for to the world for a fix, to turn inward then and quiet your body and your mind so that you can hear what God's actually saying to you in the moment and respond more effectively and confidently to the moment.
I know that sounds a little pie in the sky when you're up at 2 o'clock in the morning with your gut twisting. And it does take practice to do it. You won't do it perfectly at first, but even doing it imperfectly can bear fruit. It helps you to find the strength to focus on how you can use even the unexpected to cooperate with God's grace and actually build a more abundant life.
So the next time worry's got you spinning out, try to resist the temptation to focus all your attention on getting control of the stuff around you. Instead, literally slow your body and your rate of speech down and pray this. Lord, I don't know what to do, but I know you're here. Show me how to respond to this in a way that glorifies you, helps me be my best self, and invites the people around me to do the same. And then, stop talking, Listen and do what that small voice of the Holy Spirit is telling you to do in that space you've created. Because the more you can practice this, the more worry starts to loosen its grip, and you can taste the peace this world can't give. All right, that's the recipe. Now let's make it happen. 877-573-7825. Today's show titled Worried Sick. Are you exhausted from worry or anxiety that won't let up? Let us help you trade your worries for the peace that surpasses all understanding. 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord. Then we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence and we thank you for being present to us and for the gift of peace that this world cannot give. But so often we have a hard time accessing that peace, Lord. And so we bring to you all of our concerns right now. And we ask that you would help us to respond to those things, not in an anxious or worried way, but in a way that allows us to glorify you, to be our best selves, and to challenge the people around us to be their best selves too, so that we can use every situation, even the unexpected ones, to build the abundant life that you came to give us. We ask all this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, Worried Sick, we're talking about anxiety and worries. How can we respond to those concerns that we have or the anxiety that we feel in a way that allows us to reclaim our peace? 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Samantha, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Pennsylvania.
Hi, Samantha. Welcome to the show. How can we help you out?
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I'm calling today regarding anxiety and how my husband and I have very different parenting perspectives. We come from very different backgrounds, and how he interacts with our children, I think more so the expectations that he has of our children and what they're developmentally capable of doing and capable of behaving like. And I find myself every day worrying about those interactions and kind of how they're developing that inner voice for our children. They're only 4 and 7. And this has pretty much been going on their whole lives.
And when you say he's very strict with them, I mean, is he frightening in some way, or is this just And have you tried having this conversation, not in a heated way, not when he's just corrected the children and you're upset about how he handled it and you approach him and both of you have elevated emotional temperatures, but have you ever just taken time, you know, when you just are both calm and say, hey, how can we get on the same page with parenting? And if you have done that, how has he reacted?
Yes, I have done that. I will admit, typically it is in kind of a heated moment, but I have definitely, over the last 7 years, you know, when we're kind of both calm, brought that up. His response is never really very open-minded to what I'm saying. It is very, the kids need to learn to listen the first time. They need to, you know, accept direction or instructions the first time. Even when I brought up kind of the words. Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, that's right. So I was going to ask, what can we specifically help you? Because there are a lot of different ways we can go with this, but I just want to make sure that I'm understanding your particular concern that you're looking for help with.
Yeah, I appreciate that. So I will admit, we don't necessarily pray on this together. I listen to your guys' show a lot, and I know one of the big things that you always recommend is sitting down and praying together and asking how God wants us.
Is he open to that?
For our children? Yes and no. He says he is, and we may do it once, but then the very next time that the kids don't listen, or we're kind of right back to he has a very authoritative way of disciplining.
Authoritarian. I understand.
He never hits them. Thank you. Authoritarian. He does at times belittle them. Like, my son is 7. You need to grow up. You're acting ridiculous. my daughter last
night. So let me ask you this one other question, and then I'll share some thoughts. Let's take it off of this topic for a second. If anything else that you guys don't see eye to eye on, are you usually able to come to some kind of a mutual, you know, place where you both are satisfied, or does it tend to be that you more often than not give in? Yeah. Okay.
I'm the one apologizing. Yeah. I pretty much never heard an apology from my husband in 27 years of being together.
Okay. So there's a deeper issue here, of course, where that points to a struggle with deeper respect in the relationship. And I'm going to actually encourage you to download the podcast, the program, and play it for your husband later today, and use it as a springboard for a conversation getting between the two of you. So there are a couple of things here. First of all, I want you to recognize that this, what you're describing is really this idea that he has a hard time accepting anything that he doesn't appreciate, right? That, you know, and if I love you and I respect you, I want to see the truth and the goodness and the beauty and the things that you find true, good, and beautiful. Your opinions, your aspirations, your ideas, even if I don't completely get it, right? So if Lisa brings something to me and I'm like, where's that coming from? I don't really understand that. Or that kind of makes me a little uncomfortable. I look at her and I'm able to say, you know what? She's got a good head on her shoulders. I love her. I respect her. I want to understand what's good about this from her perspective before I decide whether it's relevant to me or not.
And that's especially true in marriage, because you're supposed to be each other's spiritual partners. You're supposed to be helping each other grow in all the virtues that we're supposed to be living as Catholics. And so when Greg comes to me or I come to him with that kind of difference, we both know that God's calling us to hear that and pray about that and see if it's God's voice in our spouse directing us to grow and change in some way.
And so that the most important thing to keep in mind here for both of you, and again, I'm hoping you'll play the call, is that you need to work on the deeper issue of respect in the relationship, where, you know, you each of you is willing to listen to each other, even when it doesn't make sense or even when you disagree, and try to understand what is truly good about the perspective that your mate's bringing to you. The research really calls this accepting influence. And couples who are good at accepting influence from each other tend to have happier marriages. In general, women tend to be better at accepting influence than men. And you're describing that in this situation. And I just want to challenge your husband, you know, man to man here, to recognize that blessed are the poor in spirit is an important with the primary beatitude, and I talk about this in my book, The Beatitudes, where we need to listen to God, to others. We need to learn. We don't know how to lead our family. We don't know how to love our wife and our children the way God wants us to. We need to recognize that and stop pretending that we've got it all figured out and everybody needs to just fall in line because I'm the part-time pagan deity of my home. You know, I'm the first disciple. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how to love you. I don't know how to love my kids. I don't know how to bring out the best in them. So I need to sit and listen and learn and watch the effect that my actions are having on the people around me and see, take input from my wife and from my kids even, so that we can grow together in holiness and I'm not just sitting myself up on the throne. That's another reason why it's important to be praying together.
Yes, and I appreciate that he'll pray with you about this like once and then it stops. I really encourage you both to start developing a daily prayer practice together, where you start of the morning together and you pray about the needs of the day and you talk to each other about what will make your life easier and more pleasant for each of you. And you begin that so that you are prayer partners on a daily basis. You're not just going to God when there's a problem to solve, like this particular parenting situation. Now, I, again, as Greg said, truly encourage you to play this podcast for him when you're both calm and discuss it together, because unfortunately, one of the problems is that over 20 plus years, because you've always given in when he's really authoritarian in how he runs your relationship, everything with the children, you've taught him over time that if he blusters enough, you'll give in. And so he's been rewarded for this behavior for decades because you give in. So he gets what he wants, so why not try it again? So you really want to be able to listen to this with him and really start praying together and talking about how to develop mutual respect in your relationship.
Yeah, and you know, I think this is an opportunity that God, you know, you give in, you're not willing to give in on this one issue, which is why it's becoming more of a flashpoint.
Yeah.
But I think this is an invitation from the Holy Spirit for the two of you to really learn to listen to each other in ways that you haven't before. And I just want to encourage you both to walk through the process that we're talking about. And if you need more personalized support, reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We're happy to walk through there. And also our book, How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love. Check out the chapter on mutual respect.
And as a lot of people might be saying, but he's the authority in the home. Remember that in Ephesians, read the whole thing, it reminds us to defer to one another in Christ Jesus.
All right, we got to go to break. When we come back, more with your calls at 877-573-7825.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Life is hard and we have to struggle against so much, including the ongoing struggle against our own sinfulness. And sometimes we just want to say, no more, I'm done. But God isn't done with you. I'm Dr. Marcus Peter, and in my book, Not Finished Yet, I can show you how God has already begun a wondrous work in you, in each of us, and only needs your cooperation. Find Not Finished Yet and all of our other books on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
This Ave Maria program brought to you in part by the following nonprofit.
One of the greatest threats to your family isn't a disaster or a virus, but addiction. In nearly every family and every pew, someone is silently struggling. Beginning July 11th, Shalom World TV and the iThirst Initiative present Unshackled, a powerful new series on the Catholic Church's response to the addiction crisis, bringing together leading voices to discuss real healing. Stream it free at shalomworld.org or on the Shalom World app today.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, worried, sick. Are you exhausted from anxiety or worry that won't let up? Let us help you trade your worries for the peace that surpasses all understanding. 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Elizabeth Busby. She is with the Theology of the Body Institute, and she's the host of the Discerning Marriage podcast. Hey, Elizabeth, welcome to More to Life.
Hi, it's such a gift to be here with you. Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you with us. So, you know, we were talking over the break that you wanted to share some insights from Scripture on our topic of anxiety and really even how the Theology of the Body can help us understand anxiety differently.
Absolutely. So as y'all were saying, the reality that we need to rest in receptivity with the Lord is so huge, but even that word rest communicates that there's something in our power, right? Like, yes, the worry comes. We get to choose where we want to put our thoughts, where we want to put our actions, our behaviors. The worry may come, but we get to choose what happens next. And I think that's so consistent with theology of the body, right? This recognition that grace builds on nature, so we get to make the choice. And I have this powerful insight that my spiritual mother, Mother Natalia, gave me once, that I've really held on to, that's brought me so much comfort, because anxiety and worry is something that I personally tend to. And she was talking about the Martha and Mary scripture, where Martha, I love Martha. She's so sassy and honest. Like, can you imagine telling the Savior of the world, like, tell her to help me? Like, she's telling Jesus what to do. She's like, make her help me, please. We're hungry. And Jesus says, which this is what most people reflect on, Jesus says, Mary has chosen the better part, which, yes, what is that better part? Reflecting on the Lord, resting at his feet, not even worrying about what's coming next, But then the next part of that sentence is so powerful. He says, and it will not be taken from her. So there's this reality that Jesus promises. If we choose peace, if we put our will, if we engage our will on choosing peace, on resting with the Lord, on not worrying, then that peace is not going to be taken from us. We can, of course, give it up. And, you know, when we use that language of this so-and-so robbed my peace or this situation robbed my peace. But the reality is we give it up. It isn't taken from us. So if we are willing to cultivate through the practices you'd mentioned, we're able to cultivate choosing peace. Jesus promises that we'll get to keep it.
Amen. Elizabeth, I want to thank you so much for being with us today. And folks, if they can learn more about your podcast, The Discerning Marriage, where can they turn for more information?
It is on all of the podcast streaming platforms, whatever you prefer. And we also have a YouTube version that, so YouTube, it's on YouTube, and it's at the Theology of the Body Institute YouTube channel. That's, I would love to have you join me. I'm also on Instagram at Discerning Marriage if you want to join me there.
Check it all out. And you can also go to tobinstitute.com. Thanks so much for being with us, Elizabeth. And folks, we are taking your calls about anxiety and worry. What are you worried about these days? Is it the kids, maybe? Is it where the money's going to come from? That health concern? What to do about an unexpected situation or just the world in general? Maybe it's not you, but somebody you care about is a worrier, and you worry about helping them stop worrying so much. However, worry and anxiety are complicating your life, we want to help you reclaim the peace that God wants you to have. Give us a call. The number is 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. You can also shoot us your questions via email, questions@moretoliferadio.com. Questions@moretoliferadio.com. And when we come back, more with those questions about worry and anxiety and all the ways that it's spinning you out. Stick around. More to Life. We'll be back after this.
The Catholic Church teaches that Jesus Christ is literally and wholly present, body and blood, soul and divinity, under the appearances of bread and wine. St. John the Apostle records the John chapter 6 Bread of Life discourse, in which Jesus states that his flesh is true food and his blood true drink. Who better to understand John's writings and subsequent teachings than a disciple and student of John, St. Ignatius of Antioch? In his letter to the Smyrnians in 110 AD, Ignatius writes, "I have no taste for corruptible food, nor for the pleasures of this life. I desire the bread of God, which is the flesh of Jesus Christ. And for drink, I desire his blood, which is love incorruptible." The Catholic Church absolutely follows St. John and St. Ignatius in taking Jesus at his word. Examining the truths of the Catholic faith, this is faithforensics.org.
What three virtues are embodied in the first commandment? The Catholic Catechism, paragraphs 2084 through 2086, tell us that the first commandment encompasses the three theological virtues, faith, hope, and charity. In this commandment, God calls us to worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. When we say God, we confess our belief in a constant, unchangeable being, always faithful and just, without evil. It naturally follows that we accept his words and thus have complete faith in him. Since he is almighty, merciful, and beneficent, how could we not place our hope in him? Finally, who could not love a creator who has poured out his love, his goodness, and his gifts on us? This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Hi, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. You know what most people do when they're burned out? They try to power through. Or they try to escape. More coffee, more distractions, more me time that never quite refills the tank. In my book, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, I explain that when stress overtakes us, the answer isn't controlling our circumstances. It's learning to regulate our internal response so we can stay connected to God, to our best selves, and to the people who love us. Think of it like a phone that won't charge. You know, you can keep plugging it in, but if the charging port is full of lint, nothing gets through. Burnout clogs our spiritual and our emotional connections in the same way. The path back starts with clearing those connections, taking small intentional steps to re-engage with the meaning behind what we do, remembering how we're blessing the people in our lives with what we do, and bringing a little more of ourselves to the task. For more tips on reclaiming your peace, see Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, or visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today's show titled Worried Sick, as we talk about those times when we're just getting all spun up about all the different problems we got going on in life. How do we approach those things in a way that allows us to experience the peace that this world cannot give? 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Patricia, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Florida.
Patricia, welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for taking my call. I am a worried mother. I have two children that are 18 years apart. They have gone no contact with me, no phone calls, no visitations. I have been, in my view and the view of my friends, the best mother a mother could be, but I have a problem. I understand, you know, my daughter's 49, my son is 32, and yes, they're entitled to having their own lives, but my reasons for calling you is my 32-year-old is not married. My daughter's married with children, but this one lives alone, and he has developed a thyroid issue. As a mother, I am so worried. I wake up at 3 a.m. I go to church and do the rosary.
Patricia, can I ask you a question, though? You said that you have no contact with them right now. Is that the case?
That's the main problem. If he would just call me.
I'm sorry, I'm just a little confused, Patricia. So if you have no contact with either of your children, how do you know about your son's thyroid issue and how he's doing?
It developed a year and a half ago, and I went to where he worked, and I saw him, and he was really thin, and I can see his health had deteriorated. We took a flight. We went international. We saw the best of the best doctors, and it came up with one blood test that he has thyroid issue. He's been put on medicine from there on, and now he's back in the States, and he's taking his medicine. But all I want to hear from him is that he would pick up the phone and just, I'm worried. I can't sleep.
Sure. Patricia, so let me ask you, what's your relationship with your son like now, though? Do you have contact with him?
My son has gone no contact like my daughter. My daughter started this with, my granddaughter's 29 now. So when the last time I had good contact with my daughter, my granddaughter was 17. So now my son has grown into being in the world by himself. He's got his apartment. He's got his car. But the only sister he has, and they're half siblings. The only sister he has is that one, his
sister. All right. So, Patricia, I'm going to jump in just for the sake of time, because I want to be able to give you something before we need to go to break here. So what you're saying at this point, though, is I understand you're deeply concerned for your son and his health, and I appreciate that. I think any parent would be. And it also breaks my heart that your children have gotten no contact with you. That's really extraordinarily painful. It's more and more common, but it is painful on both sides, yeah. Frankly. The anxiety that you're feeling, you know, any parent is concerned for their child who is sick. It doesn't matter how old their kid is, if they're, you know, 6 or 60, it doesn't matter.
They're still our children.
But I think that both of your children are telling you something. Whether it's entirely fair or not, or whether they've handled it as well as they could or not, is kind of beside the point. They're sending you a message. They're saying, Mom, the way you care feels toxic. The way you care feels less like you're caring about us and more like you're making us care about you.
Now, we understand that is not your intention at all. You're trying to love and protect your children.
But the way you're approaching this, and again, we all want to be reassured that everything's going to be okay, that our kids are going to be okay. But sometimes we can put our kids in a position of taking care of us. And that's exactly what you're saying. I want him to call me and tell me he's okay. I want him to show me that he's doing all right. I want him to reassure me so I can not be so anxious and staying up all night and worrying about them. Again, it's normal to worry about our kids. I'm not correcting you for that. But it does cause problems when we place our children in the position of reassuring us. And accidentally, that's what you're doing. You don't know how to manage your own anxiety. So you're asking for your kids to help you feel better. And that's why they've gone no contact, because they don't know how to tell you, Mom, we love you, but the concern that you have for us is not really about us, and it's draining us dry, and it makes us feel like you're not really here for us or not don't really care about us. And again, Patricia, I know that's not your intention.
Yeah, that's not your intention
I'm
at
saying,
all.
I'm I saying mean, this is what, from their perspective, this is how you're coming across.
Right, even though you went above and beyond, taking your son out of the country to be able to get a diagnosis, from the outside, that looks like you are a fantastic mom, taking care of everything.
And you do a lot of
sure
great things.
Safe.
I'm not taking anything away
wonderful things
from any of that.
Absolutely wonderful. But something about the way you're doing it is making them feel just like
violated.
It's toxic, it's
yeah, I mean,
violated, it's
a
not
hard,
working for
them. It's a
them.
Hard word to use, but that's, I mean, that's what they're trying to say. And again, I the whole no contact thing, I think, is overblown,
it's
and
horrible.
I think it's horrible. I think there are healthier ways to deal with these kinds of problems than cutoffs. But in most cases, anyway. But the message they're sending you, Patricia, is, Mom, we need you to learn how to manage your own anxiety so that you stop putting us in charge of making you feel better. So the best thing you could do for your kids
and for yourself,
for you, for your relationship with God, frankly, and your development as a Christian person is to get the skills, the support that you need to learn how to manage your anxiety better in general, not just about this issue. So I'm going to encourage you to check out Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, the book that we've been talking about. But I do think that it would be helpful to get some personal coaching. So if you are not in counseling with anyone, I'd encourage you to reach out to us. We'll help you find faith-filled answers for these questions about how can you get better control of these feelings so that you can be a more effective support to others, which I know you want to be, but actually be able to pull it off in the way that you want to. All right. Thank you so much, Patricia, for the call. I hope that you'll follow through with the advice. Again, the book, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, CatholicCounselors.com, but really recognizing that the most important thing you can do right now, wherever you turn, is to recognize that your kids are saying, Mom, we need you to get a handle on your anxiety so that we can feel supported by you, or at least less threatened by your emotions. Thank you so much for the call. 877-573-7825 is the number. Today's show titled Worried Sick, as we talk about those times when worry and anxiety spin us up, and it happens to all of us. But there are tools that we can all use to transform those worries into concerns that we can do something about. 877-573-7825. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day. Comes to us from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding.
This goes back to the first call, you know, when we were talking with Susan about her husband, and when I mentioned the first beatitude, blessed are the poor in spirit, the poverty of spirit really translates practically into acknowledging that I don't know what I'm doing. I have no idea how to handle this. Every minute is a new minute. Every new situation is a new thing I've never dealt with before. I don't know what I'm doing. But God does. And I'm going to go to him now and say, Lord, I don't know how to respond to this. I don't know how to deal with this. I don't know how, and I don't even know how to respond to my own feelings, much less the situation. Teach me. Show me what to do.
Yes, because I think so many of us get to the beginning part of this scripture. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And then we feel judged because we know that we're not trusting fully because we're fallen people in a fallen world. This is not an easy task to take on. So we really stop there and think, well, I'll try. I bet I don't know if I can, but I'll try. Yes, I'm going to. Okay, no, I can't because of this. But when we look at the second half, do not lean on your own understanding. That doesn't mean memorize every word of Scripture, although if you can, great. What it means is be honest with the Lord. Take your heart and your struggles to Him and say, Lord, I want to trust in You. I'm really having a hard time with this. There are things in my past that I feel like You weren't there for, and I need You to heal those things. I need You to come into my spirit now and give me the peace and the quiet that I need so that I can trust You more. Have that constant dialogue with God, because trusting Him is not a test that you pass or fail. It's an invitation to dialogue with Him and real relationship.
Amen. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understandings. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. All right, we're talking about anxiety today on our show titled Worried Sick. And if you are worried about something in particular, anxious about stuff in general, let's talk it out and help you find the peace that God has in His heart for you. The number is 877-573-7825, 877-573-7825. Back with more of your calls coming up after this.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Are you struggling with a persistent emotional or relationship problem? Maybe those thoughts and feelings won't leave you alone, or your marriage has grown distant, or a wound from your past still aches. Too many of us tell us that we should be able to handle it alone, or that good Catholics shouldn't need help. That's not true. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, founder of CatholicCounselors.com. My team of pastoral counselors will help you find solutions rooted in solid psychology and our Catholic faith, so you don't have to choose between getting real help and staying true to what you believe. Visit CatholicCounselors.com and discover how we can help your faith, life, and relationships flourish.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
I said to the sisters one day, what do you think you're going to look like in heaven? Oh, some of them had absolutely magnificent ideas. I didn't think of one of them. So I got desperate because then my turn came. I didn't know what to say. And so in desperation, I said, what do you think I'll wear in heaven? And they all said with one voice, armor!
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Want more tips for living an abundant life through the theology of the body? Follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa and on Instagram at Catholic Counselors.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today's show titled Worried Sick. We're talking about anxiety and worry and all the problems that cause us to spin out or stay up at night worrying. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Marie, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Nebraska.
On Spirit Catholic Radio. Hey, Marie, what's up?
Good morning. I'm going to try to summarize so I can get as much advice as I can. I have three kids, 43, 41, and 30. I have a drinking issue, and I take responsibility for them ghosting me. That's the first thing I'm
Marie,
want to say.
Marie, you said you have a drink. So you are still actively drinking?
No, I'm not.
You're in recovery?
I've been punished to the point. Yes, and I've been punished to the point that I hope, you know, through me being sober, and that maybe they'll come back. But my son got married a year ago. She's a psychologist, family therapist. Once they got married, then the baby came. That's it.
Okay.
No contact whatsoever. And then he kind of...
Marie, how long have you been sober?
About 6 months.
Okay.
Okay, and your son got married a year ago.
Right.
Correct?
And Marie, are you involved in some kind of 12-step program now, or any kind of treatment at all?
Yes, AA.
Or did you just stop?
AA, and I'm not drinking.
Okay, So what was your question for us? I want to make sure that I'm responding.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. When I did drink, they would, they can tell. And they would text, and then I would text back, not so nice. And those texts, I wish I could take back, but you can't. And I pray about it. But when he got married to the therapist, the two got together, the son and the daughter of mine. And that was it. Two granddaughters that are 16 and 13. I've been with them every single day. I've never drank around my family, and I've never drank around the grandkids or my kids. It's more of a problem in my room alone if I'm upset. But they've now cut everything off. I haven't seen the baby at all, and she's a year now.
Okay. And that's horrible. And I'm so sorry you're going through that. I want to say that I'm inviting you to actually see the gift and the grace in the fact that the family decided together that pulling back from you might do exactly what it did, which it made you see, hey, I got to stop this because I'm going to lose my whole family if I don't. So what needs to be happening now is you focusing very much on your sobriety and your recovery and your healing from all this so that you become the person that they feel safe enough to have in their lives.
So Marie, I'm so grateful for you being open to seeking help.
Yes.
And for your persistence in your recovery and your continued involvement in AA. I think that's all wonderful. And those are all incredibly positive steps. I do want to gently challenge you that you're not taking as much responsibility as you think you are. Because the language you're using, I've been punished. He got together with this psychologist, and now they're doing and they're plotting against me. Kind of, I understand the hurt. I do. I do get it. I mean, I'm a parent. We're parents of adult kids, right? We get it. And we can argue about whether that's fair or right, or there was a better way to handle it, or whatever. Okay, but I need you to hear the message that they're trying to send you, which is, Mom, you don't understand how serious your drinking was. Even now, even in the way you're describing it to me, I never drank around the kids. I never drank around I just did it by myself in my own room when I was sad. Clearly, they know when you're drinking, and it has a bigger impact on all of them than you think it does.
And the fact that when you were drinking, you would send mean text or any of those things, they know. And while they are trying to protect themselves and their children, I really am inviting you to see this as an act of love, where they got together and said, Mom's in a really bad way. What can we do to change this for her? She's going to go farther downhill. She could die from this. This isn't safe for her. This isn't healthy for her. What can we do? And so the intention is, yes, they want to protect themselves and their children, but they were also trying to jumpstart change in your life so that they're inviting you to be healthier by finding steady sobriety.
As I'm listening to you, Lisa, I'm kind of imagining Marie saying, they don't care about me at all. None of this was about me. This was about protecting themselves. And even if that was true, I don't believe it's true, but even if that was true, it's important to hear the message behind the action, which is that, Mom, you still don't see how painful your drinking was and is. And we're glad that you're getting help, but the only reason you're getting help in part is because we've gone no contact, and that's helping you see that there's a problem. And now you've been sober for 6 months, and that's wonderful, but we can't trust it. And you also, we can't trust you to know that you'll stay sober if we let you back into our lives, because if that's the motivator, we need to keep that in place. So Marie, I'm not saying any of this is fair, I'm not saying any of this is right, I'm saying this is what it is, and you need to deal with what is. And the reality is you've not taken as much responsibility for your drinking and the effect that it's had on your family as you need to yet. This is not a punishment. This is not a persecution. This is you having to take responsibility, which is one of the steps, right? You having to take responsibility for how deeply the drinking has affected the people around you. You're coming out of this coma, and you're not seeing how impactful the drinking was for a lot of years. And it's your job to figure it out. It's not your job to defend yourself. It's your job to say, I need to learn what I did so I can heal myself, my family, so I can open my heart to what God wants to do in my life. And that's scary, but that's what sticking with AA is going to do for you. And I'd also encourage you to seek some good, faithful counseling, yes, to help you continue to navigate this path as well.
And I really want to caution you, Marie. I think that God really did use the kids stepping back to get you to take the step into recovery. But if your only motivation is going to be, if I stay sober long enough, if I get through this long enough, they'll let me back in their lives. No, this is about you recovering, learning to love yourself, to care for yourself, to grow closer to Christ, so that you become your best self. You become your most sanctified self. And only then, when you have a history of this behind you, when you can show them just by who you are that you have actively gone through recovery and are going to do this every day of your life for your own well-being, will they be able to really trust you and possibly open the door to letting you in. If you do this just to white-knuckle it till they're willing to talk to you again, it's not going to work. This is about you truly healing.
So full props, Marie, for all the work you've done so far.
Absolutely.
And it's been a hard road. And I congratulate you on your 6 months, and I encourage you as you move forward. But you need to still recognize that this is bigger than you think it is still, and there's more work to be done. So try to tone down the outrage and really focus in on the healing. Thank you for the call. And as we go into the final minutes of the show, you know, we have several calls from folks who have experienced the whole no-contact issue with,
yes,
their adult children, and are anxious about that. I recognize, you know, that this is a phenomenon that is being overused. We can debate whether it's fair or right or whatever. But the thing to take away from it, okay, we need to hear the message behind it. And I just want to encourage anybody who's listening who's in that situation and anxious about it to check out having our book, Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Our Adult Sons and Daughters, because it's not just about talking with them. It's about how to have the kind of relationship with your adult kids that makes them want to be in relationship with you, that makes them receptive to the things that we want to say. It's really transforming families, and I really encourage you to check it out. But anytime we're wronged, okay, anytime, especially our adult kids are telling us that we've done something wrong or that they don't like something about the way we're handling whatever, it's easy to get your back up.
Yeah. I mean, we think of all the things we've done for them, all the sacrifices we've made, the whole life we seem to have poured out into them, and then suddenly they're doing this to us. How do we not get our back up at first?
And this is, you know, we have a good relationship with our adult kids.
We do.
Thanks be to God. But it's not, you know, launching is bumpy no matter who you are. Mm-hmm. And I've had this same conversation with my son, you know, who will say, you know, Dad, I didn't like when you did that when I was growing up. And I'm a parenting expert, for heaven's sake. How dare he tell me? Right? I mean, you know, not only am I'm his father, I'm the parenting expert. But I've got to get over myself, you know. I have to get past that and be able to listen. No, this is my son, this person who I love, who God loves, and who God is trying to say something to me through. I need to listen to that.
And we also have to remember that they're no longer 2 or 10 or 16. They're no longer the rebellious whatever. They're adults, and they want us to get to know them as adults. And we have to let our children get to know us in a way that they never have before. And it doesn't mean trauma dumping on them. It means becoming our best selves so that we can get to know each other and be there to care about and support one another in healthy ways.
So for those folks who we aren't going to have time to get to individually, who are kind of struggling with that issue with adult kids and the anxiety around either cutoffs or concerns about the way they're living their life, I'd really encourage you to follow up with having meaningful, sometimes difficult conversations with our adult sons and daughters, because it'll walk you step by step through how to repair that relationship and open their hearts to what you're trying to do. But for everyone who is struggling with anxiety and worry, which pretty much is all of us at some point, we are here to help you find those resources to live a more abundant and peaceful life. Check out Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, and reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com, where we can hook you up with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, or personal life in the light of God's grace. Check it out at CatholicCounselors.com. All right. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Until next time, remember that with God's grace, there is so much more to life. Get out there and celebrate the life God has for you. Have a blessed day.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Don't ever miss another episode of More to Life. Subscribe to the podcast at AveMariaRadio.net.